Hello and welcome to the Lemonade Lifestyle.
It's happening again.
Fuck me, the tears. Take two.
Hey!
Take two. I like repetition. That was hilarious, John. Well done. False start. We had 6 minutes worth of false start there.
Yeah. Oh, shit himself.
Right. I've said this before. This could be someone's first time of listening.
Doesn't change the fact. John,
are you still looking for chairs?
I'm actually wondering how much a secret lab is.
Well, don't buy a bouliere, because it will be uncomfortable as fuck. No. How'd you say it?
Fucking boils, because that's what it gives you.
I've got a hemorrhoid chair. How'd you say it, Bulge?
I don't know. It's French, isn't it?
How do you say it?
In the boule, in the toilet.
Ging gang, booly, 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 watcher.
It's like boule.
God, I haven't heard that phrase. Just God, talking to booly, heard about they?
Yeah.
I'm so fucking confused. What's, have you actually not? You're just saying that for the podcast?
No.
Have you not heard?
No.
They've lost the lease for the Motor Museum. They fell out with the people who own it, I think. So they've got to move the Motor Museum.
How?
I don't know. They're cars, they do drive. Some of them.
Drive's a strong word.
Some of them. Been in
I think it's going to be a mix of Gaydon. Gaydon. And Ains, I reckon.
Yeah.
Or they're just... Well, that's got to be the only options.
Yeah.
So are they losing everything?
I think so.
Including the will to live.
Yes. Yeah. Same as us.
Bit like
us,
because it kept saying,
welcome aboard!
You're in for a hot ride. I didn't know if they just lost a certain part of the Motor Museum, because they kept referring to it as the British...
National
Motor Museum. And I thought...
And I was only bloody talking about it before
I
had a go on
that's
us.
Why. They thought, fuck me.
We're too big time now.
Yeah.
Or, oh my God, has it resorted to that?
It's that. Fuck me.
Three idiots are talking about us. Good.
Yeah.
Pack it in.
Sorry?
Huh?
What did you just say then?
I said pack it in.
Oh.
Pack it up, pack it in.
Let me begin. Is it begin or back in?
I don't know.
Who knows? Oh,
fair. Fair enough.
I would say begin.
That would make more sense, wouldn't
it?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. If this is your first time listening, I would say it doesn't normally start like this. I'd be lying. It actually generally does every time. But after a while, you'll become to love it.
Yeah,
you'll realise, fuck me.
And you'll start missing it. You'll be like, why is it only every other week?
Yeah.
But...
People do say that, genuinely.
I know. But the...
When?
The best part...
That, Neil Brew, I think he was called.
Oh, yeah. Is he a cowboy?
Yeah, he wants to be. Big fat fucker.
Yeah.
But do you know one thing that I have thought about with this?
Keep rid of Bulge, because he's miserable.
Is that...
I've tried to go, and you keep telling me it doesn't work without me, so...
He's got a point.
You never tried to go. You kept hinting that you didn't want to do this. Well, I say hinting, making it perfectly fucking clear you didn't want to be in the same room as me again. And then when we said, well, if you don't want to, then we'll just tell us how you feel. And then you go, and then we go back to square one and we get on like a house on fire again. And you think, he's not that annoying.
Then I remember.
Never thought that. Anyway, what have you thought about this apart from get rid of Bulge?
Well, for those of you that... For those of you that... Like, obviously, I completely understand that you're only human at the end of the day. But for those of you that... genuinely do miss the fact that it is only every other week that we do a podcast.
Yeah.
If you were to head over to...
Nice.
Oh, fuck. Patreon.com/LemonLifeAutoPod, you would find a link to our patron exclusive episodes, of which there are nearly 2,000 back catalogue episodes.
Quality may vary.
90?
2,090.
90?
90. 2,000 seconds worth of...
If they're half an hour long on average, and there's 90...
Oh, there's been many that are...
An hour.
Bloody good hour.
Yeah.
Oh.
Also, quality may vary.
Yes. However,
no, I mean, generally, it's they are. I mean, we rarely miss with the patron.
Generally, it's
no. The patron, the patron's pretty well there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty.
Sometimes
well there.
It's a bit.
It's because we actually enjoy that bit.
Yeah, this is a slog, and we've eaten and we're tired now. We've got no energy to do this.
None.
The patron first.
Yeah, But what a good segue that was.
That was I thought, where the fuck is he going with this?
Yeah, and then you went, oh, and I was like,
that was a
fucking...
That was almost entirely accurate to Neil Broom the Cowboy.
Broom.
So anyway, head over to patreon.com/lemonlifeautopod. Sign up to our Patreon from as little as £3 plus VAT for an entire month.
Or don't.
No.
Do. Bold, you miserable fuck.
It's, I mean, none of them have.
Callum Widgery told me. I saw Callum Widgery on Sunday. And he said, I nearly signed up to Patreon the other day. So.
Nearly.
We're getting somewhere. He did say he was in the middle of doing it and something came up and he didn't get to finish it. Morning. And he did flirt with the idea of signing up at the £5 level. Keen big spender.
Hot yeah. Damn.
Keen big spender.
So, for your from as little as £3.60 per month,
yep.
You get access to our Discord, which I am led to believe is fantastic.
Yep. But genuinely, it is good.
Genuinely far too busy to be on there. And the problem I have is that all of the shit happens. And then when I do try and catch up, it's like 4 hours later. And I'm like, yeah I want to join in. And everyone's like, join in with what?
Yeah, done, man. To be fair, about 7 o'clock in the evening, I'll get John Young, laugh reacted to your comment. John Young, laugh reacted to your comment. John Young, heart reacted to your comment. I think, oh, he's reading it all now.
Yeah. Yeah, but the Discord is active.
Yeah.
The max.
Perfect example. Patreon listener, friend of the podcast, Ben Barker, just bought himself a nice new Golf. In lovely. And he got some fantastic advice off of you, Bulge, dare I say it. I'm sure I know he will agree, because you were incredibly helpful.
Nerd.
You did call yourself a nerd, yeah, which I thought was accurate.
100% accurate.
He's come in there to celebrate the fact that he's bought a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of nice comments. People asking questions, and it's hell of a spec, mind. Hellish. And it's a stunning thing as well. Far too much horsepower, and the power goes to the wrong wheels. But apart from that, fantastic car. And it's just a nice little space where we can talk about these kind of things.
Yep.
And we have organised a meet-up, which I'm sure we will document of some description on our
post
socials.
Now, actually.
What do you mean now?
Well, I didn't know to begin with, but yeah, I am now.
And then you went,
I think
all, it's then you got all miserable on the Discord.
I think it's because you're getting a bit closer.
That's another thing. If you sign up to the Patreon, you can join a Discord. You can see me and Bulge fight in real time.
Yeah.
That did happen, didn't it?
Yeah.
That did happen.
Yeah.
Not my fault you're a pedantic fuck.
Me. You.
You.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Soz, hun. On this one occasion, you.
Thought I could trust you, Jonathan.
Well,
it annoys me. Before you got it, it came up. And he said, I did start to type a message, but I just deleted it. I thought, brilliant. John doesn't come to my fucking aid. And you made a joke, which was a very funny joke, but it looked like you were siding with him when you made the joke. Because it's called The Hill, isn't it? And he said the hump might be a bit better, which made it look like I was in a hump, and I wasn't. Mum would do
you
the
were.
Hump. No, you were.
No, I wasn't.
You was.
I asked a question, and you jumped down my throat like a predatory ginger ape.
You asked a question 4 times in a very aggressive manner to one of our favourite listeners.
Wasn't aggressive.
You were a bit rushy. A bit, I need to know now.
Right. If you say so.
And I did explain.
Neil the Cowboy.
What it was, basically, was we needed to... We're going to Cafe in the Machine, essentially, and you have to book a time slot. There's half an hour time slots. Boss, do you get your money back?
Yeah, you can spend it in the shop or on
you
the food.
You fucking said that, didn't you?
Told you.
Yeah, brilliant.
Why?
Because I thought, he was like, why have we got to fucking pay? Because it's a tenner, mind.
Yeah, thing is, if it's flat out busy and they go, soz, not allowed in, did you book? Then we've all driven up there and gone, oh, fuck.
Oh, no, not that. I just mean, like, it's annoying. I thought you got your
money back when you got there. You redeem it against food.
But you have to redeem it
in
against
the shop.
Food. I suppose it's better than poking the eye with a sharp stick.
Yeah.
Aye. I can't remember what I was going to say. Yeah, but the point I was making was the one the following Saturday was still completely fully available. And you ignored that.
No, I took it on board and chose to ignore it. There's a difference.
Sign up to the Patreon. You can watch arguments like this unfold in real time. You can join in.
Yeah.
You can put the usual man eating popcorn gif when shit starts going down.
Man unfolds chair.
Yeah, that one. A good one.
And it's only going to cost you £3.60 a month. From, in fact.
And we've actually got stickers.
Yeah. They've been posted. Least.
Nobody's got any. Oh, right. You have actually posted them.
Yeah.
I've posted them to my car to give to people at the meet. I've given you Beth's, though, haven't I?
Yeah.
There you go. Done.
What about James's?
Which James? The one who's from Credit.
The Wodge.
Oh, that James. Yeah. I got well confused then. Oh, I'll see him at the thing. He's going, isn't he?
309.
He's taking a 309 on a trailer, surely.
I don't know.
He ain't going to drive that all the way there, is he?
He ain't going to make that jump.
He drove it all the way around Wales with a Peugeot engine in it. He did.
And
that.
The wiring is so much more up and together
now. The wiring's a lot more up and together now,
and
yeah.
As you may or may not really recall, but driving from Taunton all the way to North Wales is a fucking long time.
Well, from here to North Wales, even bloody further, isn't it? Mm. So, join the Discord. There are 90. There are just under, I think. We might have just done our 90th. I'm not sure.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy 90th. Bold.
again.
There's a whole back... There is a whole back catalogue. Like we said, Henry was listening to episode number 12 the other day for something to do. And he genuinely loves what we put out there, which is mad because...
Blokes off his
head. I don't know why it's mad. It's his feet are too big, I think. But you got the Discord, you got the back catalogue, and you get to support three lads that genuinely enjoy doing what they do. So,
wow.
Do it.
Kapow.
With two plug and a half. Done. Two and a half.
Plug done.
Let's move on. Bulge, what's new with you?
How's
the daily? Have you replaced the subframe bushes?
Boring and diesel-y.
Have you done anything to it? Are you enjoying the fact that you're driving a car that you don't feel you need to make sure is on the button 24/7?
Yeah, that.
Good. It's a nice feeling, isn't it? I've lived my whole life like it. It's fine.
It's kind of like, it's got four mismatched tyres, which 10, 15 years ago I wouldn't have cared about, and now I would give a shit about, except for now I don't.
Yes, it's pleasant, isn't it?
Yeah. When I wear them out, I put four matching tyres on it.
Yeah.
But,
Is that it?
Well,
there's obviously the big thing, that you might be doing a... in the scud.
What, a rally course?
Apparently, yeah, in a very, very small car.
Rally driving course, ain't you, Tyrone?
In a very, very small car.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk of hay. Let's talk of a track day.
Yeah, I think it's just going to get...
Did we talk about that last time? We didn't, did we?
No, actually.
So there's talk of us doing a track day. We're looking at doing Thruxton on the 17th of September. I'm going to be there. Benny's going to be there. John will hopefully be there.
I just need to know what's going on. Like with my car. And
Are we going to touch on that later? Or are you sitting tired talking about it? Well, if we need to.
Yeah.
We will.
Something to fall back on for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's it. Can we talk about it now?
fall back.
yeah, let's fall forward now. So I'm going to be there. Benny's going to be there. You'll be there, won't you, really, John? Let's be real.
Hopefully.
I mean, like you said, if you don't go, then you'll...
I'll get shit when I say that.
But he's done track days.
yeah.
So why? Half a one?
No, he did a full one once.
Well, the Mickey Mouse track.
Landau counts. That actually doesn't count as a full one, does it?
Not
you
really.
No. 3 days, it still wouldn't count as a full track.
No.
Anywho, that's enough fucking Landau.
You get fucking two sessions before lunch.
Yeah. And everyone's Welsh. Anyway. We don't have Welsh.
And the cafe's shit.
No, the cafe's a good bit about it. It's the only good thing about it. And you can get a Welsh cake, but what we've done is made some scones and fucking smashed them into the ground, covered in sugar. Lovely. I don't know what part of Istanbul he was from. but yeah, so talk of a track day. So there's been a big invite being flown out. So obviously us three will probably be there. Hopefully you'll be there.
Yep.
Wodge.
No,
worried
he wasn't.
About sound.
No, I don't think he's going to, because the car wouldn't have been shaken down enough for
I thought
that.
He was doing Coombe first.
Well, I don't know when that
is.
Yeah,
but that's... You know, you're looking at very short space of time, aren't you?
But Dubber seems keen.
Potentially, yeah.
The Widge, he's in the same boat as Wodge, where he's built it all and realised, I haven't really driven this thing properly in anger
probably
yet.
Probably ought to put some miles on it.
Well, he's doing Ford Fair, which I'm sure Shuffles will be at if he's not too busy working 8 days a week. Which is at Silverstone, so he's going to be doing... It's like a... He said it's a fantastic little shakedown because it's a bit like an action day. Just time slots, out you go. He said, I don't have to spunk out on a full track day. to realise that, oh, that's loose and that needs changing and that needs adjusting.
Oh, it overheats.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Lordy. So, yeah, he's doing that and then hopefully maybe. But you've been bullied into the decision.
Yeah, I think we just sort of, you said about it and we were like, well, Octavia will be all right. Just fucking make sure it's got enough oil in it and send it on, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, honestly, I don't just mean you. I mean people in general. And I have kind of been like this way in the past, but that's because I drove fucking nails. You can really overthink a track day.
Mm.
And then you just realise that you don't have to. Because like I've said, you don't have to be out at every fucking, every opportunity driving 10 temps. You know, like I said, my dad done that other track day.
Yeah.
And he done 3 sessions and his car worked precisely 5% of the time.
Yeah.
And he had an absolute hoot of a time. Because you're out with your mates.
Yeah.
There's passenger seats available.
Yeah.
There's watching from the sidelines available.
Yeah.
There's invariably a cafe. They're always, I like them. They're good. if it's warm weather, happy days. If it's raining, you find some shelter. I don't see. I mean, I've passengered with Benny a few times and I've had a fantastic fucking time. You know, it's just nice. And especially if there's a fair few of us, like there was at the charity one. Yeah. Fair few of us there, and it's just a nice social. Oh, it is a pain in the ass of having to book time off work because it's always in the week. But fuck it. Life's for living or something.
YOLO.
YOLO, exactly. Exactly that. Are you low or am I low?
Well, I'm quite low. Low.
You're very low, actually, aren't
you?
Yeah. We're low in the age range compared to Baron. So you're basically going to chuck some air in the tyres and make sure it's got oil in it and
pretty much,
have some fun. It's only 190 quid.
See if the clutch lasts a day. It may or may not.
A clutch would have to be fairly knackered.
It's like twitch your big toe and that's on and off. So it's pretty...
Oh, okay, fair.
It's pretty...
very bold of me to assume I knew the condition of your clutch.
Yeah, it's pretty...
Beth said in the Discord, it's been neglected of late.
So it's just been parked up.
Has
really
it not moved?
It. Not really, no. No, it's just been parked up. So I need to stick the yellow stuff brake pads in the back.
Right.
As well as the front, because they've been in there for a while now, but wouldn't hurt to have good pads in the back as well.
No.
That's all you have to think. I've never, ever... I think I changed the rear disc and pads when I first bought the car 7 years ago. And I keep thinking to myself, I really should change them. I really, really need to change them.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get halfway through a track day and go, oh.
Oh, and I need to rip the fog lights out and put some ducting to the front brakes. But that's basically it, really.
Yeah.
You want to take them to some interior out?
No.
Not even the rear seats?
No, there's no fucking point.
No,
what are you gonna,
honestly.
What are you going to save? 5 kilos,
yeah,
if that?
It is fuck all.
That's a fucking small lunch, isn't it? No point.
The backs.
Not when you're carrying 3 legs around it, ain't?
True that. The 20 kilo in the middle.
The backs were quite heavy from my memory in the Golf, like the upright bits.
The folding bit is fairly hefty. Well, but
she's got a garage, isn't she?
No.
Don't know why I thought that. Can't you just take them out and linger in her garden and when you get back, put them back in again?
I mean, yeah, could do.
All right, is it? No. It's not 12 bolts that you can't quite get access to. You need a specialist tool to get them out.
No.
Surely the bottom's just, dunk, out they come.
It's a bracket and you undo it and it comes out. Yeah, maybe.
See. Yeah, don't go silly.
It's just not really
fucking. I wouldn't fucking bother.
I'll tell you what. Fuck it. Leave it. You can put stuff in the back as well, though.
Yeah.
Like sliding around everywhere.
That's it. Got a spare set of wheels to get home on if we trash the tyres, so
yeah,
it's all good.
Put them on the back seats.
Yeah,
job done.
Exactly. No.
So yeah, that should be good. I'm very much looking forward to that. So I hope more than you'll ever know, Bulge. I hope this gives you the bug.
I enjoyed Coombe,
but you didn't enjoy it enough because you'd have been fucking. I don't know if you're the same. I think you probably were more than you have been. But I come home from a track day and the next day. I just want to book another one. You know how girls always want to book a holiday?
Yeah.
And then I've been on holiday with a girl and they've been looking at fucking the next one whilst we're on that. I'm like, let's get this one. I'm like that with track days. And I get a bit, I'm going to say annoyed that not everyone else wants to book it up immediately. And then it kind of just over time wears off a little bit. And I go, And I'd like, nice to get one booked. But I want you to get the bug where you're like,
well, now I don't have to drive the car to work in the morning.
Yeah.
So this takes a lot of the pressure off.
This is basically the issue that I have, is that as much as I've I've always joked about it with you of, oh, yeah, but, you know, you look after the car and you're a good driver and don't be a fucking pussy and blah, blah. Ultimately, I get it. I do completely get it. It is my only mode of transport. And what happens if nothing that I've done, whatever, but something goes wrong and I melt the fucking head or, you know, a rod decides...
Style.
I don't want to be in this cylinder anymore. Bye, you know.
Or some Burke and a Focus ST just ploughs in
whatever.
The back of you.
Yeah, you know, what do you do then? How the fuck do I get to work on Monday morning or tomorrow, whenever it is? And this is basically the problem that I've got now, which is what I was saying to Niall about with it, is that I still don't know what's happening with my car, the Beamer. And the problem is that if they write...
You might need the Cayman at some point.
If they write the car off... Then, come the end of that week, they will say, courtesy cut back, please, because it's done.
Yeah.
You know, it's written off. You've been paid. So.
Adios.
Yeah. We just need the courtesy car back.
Yeah, we need that £600 a week courtesy car back, please.
Yeah. And obviously, the problem stroke concern is that if I'm in that position and the Beamer is still in a state of disrepair, I don't have a courtesy car. Well,
you're either buying a 500 quid shitter, which doesn't exist anymore,
or I'm hiring a car for a couple of weeks, whatever, or I'll drive the Cayman, which obviously, well, I have another car, so drive that car.
It won't hurt the Cayman to be used a bit as well, you know.
No, but obviously that then comes with the problem that you've been dealing with for the last few years of... Yeah, but I don't think I'm going to crash myself.
But you don't know.
I can't guarantee
something
that.
Something could break, and you might have no choice in the matter.
No.
Well, we've seen brake failure before. Yeah. I've had brake failure on track.
Yeah.
Not fun.
No.
And or a suspension component breaks, and
whatever.
You're in the wall, you know. Yeah. So it is what it is.
I don't think I will crash. I am by no means a racing car driver, and... Even if I had a completely track-focused car that I trailered everywhere and it didn't matter if I put it... I'm a fucking fairy, right? When I get behind the wheel, I go and I drive within my limits and I have fun and I have the occasional... Oh, that was a bit too fast through there. 99.9% of the time, nothing major happens.
No.
But you can bet your fucking bottom dollar... Mm-hmm. That it will be that one time that, as you've just said, a fucking wheel stud snaps or the drop link lets go, the tie rod breaks, or I just get a puncture. From big blowout.
Yeah.
Buff.
Passenger at that point, what you hit is what you hit.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That mong in that purple compact just slides into you because he thinks he's cool. Dickhead.
And yeah, so this is basically why I haven't just gone, yeah.
No, I get
it. Book
it. And I will just say, as much grief as I've given you over the years, I have always understood your angle.
Yeah.
I think what I wanted to happen, which is probably knobby of me to just force it down your neck, mourning, which I couldn't do.
Nothing
not
there
long
to force.
Enough. No. I could force it onto the end of your tongue at best.
Ugh. That sounds worse.
That does sound worse.
I might edit that out. I won't.
You'll forget.
Basically, where are you going now?
Oh, just keep fucking talking.
What's up with just getting up and pulling at your bum hairs? Is I always hoped that you would go, oh, fuck it. What's the worst that can happen? Then you...
Might take my shorts off in a minute.
Please do. It might smell funny in here.
Will it smell more or less than
like
Niall's ass?
Well, less, I'd hope.
I was going to say, literally, I was about to say. I mean, it will definitely smell less of Niall's ass.
If he takes his shorts off and it smells more like my ass in here, then we're going to have to fess up, John. Yeah, I always hope that you do a track day, get the bug, and think, yeah, fuck this.
I need to buy a track car.
I need to buy a track car, or I need to buy a diesel daily, and this is becoming my track car. Fuck it, that's what's happening.
Yeah.
That's always what I've wanted to happen, and that's always what I kind of steered, but then you give it, oh, but this and that. And what is also different, with me and you and everything else, is I do have a very much, fuck it. attitude, you know, which has landed me in a lot of problems over the years, I will admit. So it's easy for me to go, fuck it, whatever, innit?
Yeah, it is also very difficult when your mindset is very different to Adam's mindset, mm-hmm. Bulge's mindset.
Sorry. Who?
I don't know. I don't know why I said that.
I'll definitely edit that out.
Yeah. Just put one of those over-the-top beeps in it.
Yeah, we're just talking this other beep.
Yeah.
You do it then. It's not as easy as it looks, you know.
So what's
my job.
What's tricky with it is that things like, A, the fact you've got two parking spaces.
Yeah.
And you live here by yourself.
Yeah.
You own two cars.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But you think of the point when he cooked up,
mm-hmm.
and it was just left in a car park.
An undisclosed location that you kept trying to reveal.
So I couldn't do that.
I didn't.
Oh, it was you. I should have known.
And yeah.
No, I just couldn't do that.
No,
and I'd be constantly going, it's going to get nicked, it's going to get nicked, it's going to get nicked. It's going to be trashed. The council are going to tow it away. I just couldn't do that.
Yeah. And I think it's also hard because...
Is it? Right now?
Because, like, it's different if you put the car in a car park that you drive past every single day, you know, and you just go, meh, fuck it. And you keep just stick me head round the corner there. All the wheels are still on it. Yeah,
happy
perfect.
Days.
You know, whereas where Niall left the compact...
Undisclosed location.
Unlocked.
10 miles from his house.
No immobiliser.
And it never goes past that.
No.
That car park, ever.
No.
And it was just like...
And I purposely didn't, because I was too scared to drive past it, not be there.
Yeah.
So it was easier to not drive past it and just assume it was
still
there.
And just hope it was still there when you go back to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that was dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you know... I'm not
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, cocaine's a hell of a... It will make you rearrange your priorities somewhat.
Yeah.
And, yeah, anyway.
But, you know, it's shit like that, isn't it? You know, the fact that, the way things are with your situation at the moment means that you have actually managed to find somewhere that the car can live, ish. You know.
Well, now the
where is it?
Number of people that live in my house has gone down.
Is it down?
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
I've got two spaces now, technically.
Yeah, so, and your mum doesn't need a...
Mum doesn't need a car.
Well, this is why I again forced my opinion on you, was because now's the time, isn't it? And when you dilly-dallied again mildly about doing Thruxton, and I'll admit, I will, I don't know what's wrong with me tonight. There's something in that fucking fish and chips, I reckon, because I seem to be...
Curry sauce.
Yeah.
Everywhere,
yeah.
But on the chips.
Tune into the patrons to find out what the fuck we're talking about. I seem to be siding with you a lot tonight. I don't like it, but... Thruxton, I was always a bit like, I'd like to do Thruxton, but fast, isn't it? I genuinely worried I didn't have enough power for Thruxton.
Yeah.
I think I said to you, and you were like, yeah, you'll be fine. And I was like, really, though? I thought I'd be like, or just ma, and around the place, you know? Ma, you know?
Yeah,
like it's a fucking racetrack up Porlock Hill.
Yeah.
Getting in low.
And, yeah, so I get it. Thruxton is also a bit daunting.
Mm.
But also, you're a big BTCCCCCC fan, and they race there. Mm. As much as I do love Thruxton, it's a bit village.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They don't do anything there, do they?
Not really, no.
Apart from their own thing.
It's like Castle Coombe, they've got their own series, haven't they? Like,
yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Or whatever
that's
it is.
Whereas, like, you can go around Thruxton thinking, I've watched this on the TV here. It's a bit, you know, of a watered down Silverstone almost, you know?
Yeah.
Well, not Silverstone, but... But yeah, no, it's good. And it will be good to see you out.
Mm.
And hopefully you do go, fuck yeah.
Well, that's the whole point of keeping the Octavia.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's not a tidy example. Especially not after 2 years. So, it doesn't matter that the paint's fucked. It doesn't matter.
No.
It's got a bit...
No,
crusty
no, because
who cares?
Because you know that, all right, it might need a clutch now, but actually, most of the bushes you've done.
I mean, don't look at the back, but yeah.
But you know the car. Mm. You know, it's not, you've not gone, fuck it, Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. Find something that was considered a hot variety of whatever it is.
Yeah.
And there you go. Yeah. I'll pick that up on Wednesday and we'll go to Thruxton on Thursday. Yeah. Having no idea is the thing going to fucking last? Yeah. Is it going to start? Yeah.
You know? It's not like it hasn't had engine work. You know, it's had the balance shaft, the fuel pump, it's had the exhaust.
You've got the good base there to make what could be a genuinely quite enjoyable, fun little car.
Yeah.
That, you ain't going to set any lap records, no. But I mean,
It's 275 brake. It's enough, really.
Yeah.
Well, not even funny. That's 50 more than I've got.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I'm more than happy to rattle off curbs and wring its
and
neck.
I'm probably going to be more happy to rattle off curbs now.
This was obviously like the thing that I said to your old man. Because he was like, how much power has everyone got then?
Yeah.
You know, thinking that we were all going to be in and around the same as him, 160-ish horsepower. Yeah. And obviously I went 325-ish.
Yeah.
And he was like, fucking hell. And I was like, yeah.
That Jag's 600 horsepower.
wait until you see me on track. Yeah. It doesn't fucking matter. Does not matter. You know. And this is the thing, is that you and me were, I'm fairly sure that it would have been thousands or hundredths of a second between us per lap.
You were pretty much fixed in the exact same location in my mirror the whole time round.
Yeah. And Benny's just...
Ooh, gone.
Yeah. So, you know, it just goes to show if you are a good, well, not a good driver, because I don't consider myself a bad driver.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider myself a good one, but I wouldn't consider myself a bad one either.
No, but I'm not brave and confident and whatever, and I still like to go into a corner, even if I feel like I'm pushing it.
Mm.
I still like to be able to go into a corner, going, if this goes terribly wrong, I should be able to avoid.
There's enough in the bank to pull me out of this.
What am I going to do?
Yeah, I should still be able to avoid whatever it is that is directly in front of me, and maybe just have a little excursion across the grass, and hope for the best, you know.
And
I think that's the big difference, is that, you know, someone like Benny, who obviously has built a very, very, very capable car as well, which helps massively. You know, he can just sail through the corners at a far greater speed than I would even consider.
Well, it's, if you compare, because they went into the Discord, if you'd like access, patreon.com/1111. Rob, very, you know, gratefully, nope, that's not the word.
Graciously.
Put cameras in our car and uploaded to YouTube my fastest lap, Benny's fastest lap, and Rob's fastest lap in my car.
Yeah.
And you look at the two. Because Benny's car is so much more planted, I mean, he's on AR1s, which are very much track tyres.
Yeah.
I'm on AD08s, which are street, track, mid, somewhere in the middle, aren't they, really?
They're more pointed at track than they are at street, but they are still...
They're probably 60, 40, whereas...
You can still, especially through the summer, you can still daily drive with them.
Oh, yeah, I've never had any issues. I mean, I've driven it in all fucking weathers, and I thought, oh my god, I'm on semi slicks, and gone, oh, that was fine.
Yeah,
I didn't, no aquaplaning at all there.
Yeah.
Whereas AR1s, I mean, I know they're Nankangs, but lordy, it's just a couple of little flicks on the side, and that's it. So he's on that. He's on rebuilt coilovers, which are slightly better than mine. He's got uprated anti roll bars. He's got wider tires as well.
Super diff.
I'm on 8Js, he's on 9. So he's got an extra inch per corner, which we all know, it adds up.
Mm-hmm.
That's 4 inches more on the track.
Yeah, contact area. No,
a lot more bowls before you can fix that. 14 inches more.
See, to put it into perspective,
But you watch just the two videos back to back. He turns it in and it just goes through. I love it at the minute. I do want it to be more grippy, but it's a bit more of a dance. You know, I'm sort of dancing with the car.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like understeer, oversteer, understeer, oversteer. You're on that knife edge the whole time. Exactly. Whereas Benny's just turns it in and it goes.
It goes, yeah. I mean, he's 5 seconds a lap faster than me around Coombe.
Mental,
which is fucking mental. He was 5 seconds a lap faster around Thruxton.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, he's done Thruxton before.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Excuse, excuse, excuse. I thought, well, Coombe should be good.
Yeah.
Because we should be. It'd be, to me, was a bit more of an indication as to what the difference. And it was still 5 fucking seconds.
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck me to tears. That's. Yeah. That is going, son.
It's different machinery.
I could eat. Those are the same spec. It's but like. It's not, is it?
It's like. How to explain it? It's like a.
Like a man of a 14-inch dick compared to like a man of a 3-inch.
I wasn't going to go with that kind of comparison. I was going to go more. It's like a McLaren.
Yeah.
Versus a Minardi. Same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But very different.
Mm.
Same.
Yeah.
But different.
Exactly.
What film's that from? I keep seeing a clip of it. It's. Really? Nothing?
No.
Don't know.
But that comparison works though, because
it does very
like
good.
He spent probably more than your purchase price originally back in the day in modifications.
Fucking and the rest.
No, what's your purchase? No, you didn't pay
two
a
grand.
Lot for it. Oh yeah. All right. So let's say your car's worth six.
His wheels and tires
are
cost
worth more than
pound.
Your fucking. Well, yeah, like his
half the value of my car.
Yeah,
his diff was 1,500 quid, full cage.
Yeah.
So it is like a McLaren versus a Minardi.
But genuinely now...
Looks the same.
Yeah.
Isn't.
Yeah.
And genuinely, and I'm not just saying this, I'm...
He might be quicker in the same machinery, but I don't know if it'd be such a big gap. I don't know if it'd be a 5 second gap on a short lap.
I would love, I mean, all of us to
I'd be slow as hell.
Absolute horseshit. Where'd you get that from?
From a wetty.
Yeah, so was I until I decided not to be. And you'll come over that cliff. Did you find it was like that?
Oh, fuck me.
Got
yeah.
wetty and then all of a sudden it's like not.
Yeah. You know, even on the last track day, obviously I've stupidly bought Accelera 651s thinking that they were half decent and they're not. I cannot believe that it is anything other than the tyres to make the car rotate like it does, but without actually rotating.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like blamongy. You know,
doesn't
and,
sound like fun.
And I can't. I just cannot believe that my suspension setup would be that far out. Would be that far out that it would be causing issues like that, because the car still drives straight. Yes, it's got an aggressive camber setup on it, but if anything, that should make it turn
so, yeah,
in better.
Yeah, help it more.
You know?
There's absolutely no way on God's green earth that... Because you've done some suspension stuff? Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's got coilovers.
Yeah,
and
there's no way this...
Adjustable arms, etc.
Yeah, there's no way the adjustments you've made have made it worse.
There's I wouldn't have thought so.
No.
How can they? Really?
Yeah.
Tyres are such a big factor in
honestly,
the performance of the car.
And this is obviously the bit that's really hard, is that... When the car was, as I first bought it, that I did nothing to it other than put the Cup 2s on and did a track day.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, okay, the brakes were...
Shocking.
Shaky at
not,
best.
Yeah, not great. Not great.
Shaking
but
like a shitting dog.
It was really, really good, the way the car drove. It was very planted and it was... pointy without being skittish, and the car would rotate but without being like, oh fuck me, you know, what the fuck's going on, you know, and this is the hard part, and obviously I had Rob in the car with me and I was saying to him, I don't understand it, because the car it's like it grips when you turn it in,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, yeah, I've got oh it's gone. And it's just like understeer, oversteer, but not really anything that you're like, oh, fuck, you know.
Neutral vagueness.
Yes, yeah.
Which is
and
horrible.
Yeah, and I
you
literally...
You don't know what it's going to do, do you? It's just like, well, is it going to understeer? Is it going to oversteer?
Yeah.
Do I need to turn into this? Do I need
do I need to man
off?
Up and drive through it? What's going on?
Yeah, and I literally said to Rob, vague was the word that I used, and I said, I don't know what it is, but it feels really vague midway through the corner,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Coombe Quarry was one of them that I'd come up over Avon Rise, feel absolutely fine, settled, brake, turn into quarry, turn in fine. And then as I get to the apex, it's like, well, I don't know, do I need to put more lock on or do I need to put a bit of oppo on? Like, what? I don't really know. And then the problem is that you then come into the chicane, whichever one the first chicane is, and it's like...
Yes, Gooch. It's sort of Bobby or Gooch or Dave.
Someone's.
Or Harry Ramsden.
Then you're sort of like not confident in it. Like, well, is it going to turn in this time? Yeah. And it does. So, right, fine. Get back on the power. You go through tower and hammer down. Absolutely fine. But mm-hmm. then the next one...
Camp?
Nope. No, bomb. Sorry. You go through hammer down fine. And then tower, or now Gooch, whatever the fuck it's called.
Twerrant.
Yeah. Now that bit.
Taint.
Now that bit was the worst one. You come in there, slow down, third gear, turn it in. You'd start turning in. And then it was just, I felt like I could do whatever I want with the steering wheel. Mm. You know, and, but I haven't got loads of money. So I kind of can't.
Junk a set of tyres and buy some Michelins.
Well, what you can't do, and I know because you've said this, is you can't spend all the money, it's still money you spent on the accelerators, and then just go after one track day, go, nah. You're kind of like, brilliant, so I need to burn through these tyres I hate for the next. And then I'm not, I know there's other reasons, but I can see why you're not all that enthused about a track day, because you think, And one thing I've learned, Benny has said, and I do agree with him to an extent, he thinks with my car, stick some AR1s on it, and the difference will be
night and day. Yeah.
So I think I'm glad, but it's also frustrating that it is probably tyres and not some of the rather expensive and complicated suspension setup.
Yeah.
It's just the black circles that are between you and the fucking ground.
Yeah.
But just, I mean, the problem I had as well, if you watch my, I'll put it back up in the Discord if people want to watch it. But my fastest lap, you can see, especially coming out of like quarry, I don't know if I'm going to stick because my tyres were overheating because it was fucking hot.
It was hot as fuck.
I didn't know if my tyres were going to stick or if I was going to weigh. So you can see me kind of getting ready to maybe, do I need to catch it? So right, I'm with Benny, because he knows it's going to stick,
it will just fucking stick.
Because even when we done the photography lap, I was fucking sliding about the place, acting like a right loon and a dickhead and showing myself up and everything else. Benny couldn't.
No.
He couldn't even do a fucking slide.
No.
It'd spin the wheels, rum, and just grip.
Yeah.
Whereas I could
line
her out and away we go.
And you know, again, all right, this is first world problems with having 18-inch wheels.
Tires are disgusting.
This is the problem, is that for you could buy a set of AR1s, whereas for me, that buys me two.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like,
I've got some 17-inch wheels still.
Yeah.
So I can put sticky tires on them. 18s.
Oh, are they?
See, because this was the thing with the Golf, is that I had 17s on that.
And it'll fit over the S3 brakes. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, so...
Is it true that 16-inch tyres are still silly expensive?
I don't think so.
Not so much as they used to be, I don't
know. How much are AR1s for you, for a set of four?
I think we...
Grand?
No, I think 12...
Yeesh.
1,200, I think they were, or 1,250.
But he's got big, what are you, 255 at the back? 265 at the back?
265.
Yeah.
265.
That's so 700 quid.
So I've got 18s, but I'm only 225, so they're only 7.5K.
Yeah.
So...
I tell you what, right.
265, 235.
Slight different point now, and I don't want to go into this too much. I don't fucking understand wheel width and tyres. Because you said 7.5, which means I'm on a 225, right? Now, BMW wheels in 17-inch with 7.5 front, 8.5 rear, okay? 225 in the front, 245 in the back.
Mm-hmm.
On my track car, they're 8J.
Mm.
And they're 225. I know it's only half an inch, but why is it 225 on an 8J and a 225 on a 7.5J?
Well, it should, on an 8J, it should technically be a 235.
Mm. But my 225s were rubbing, if you remember. All right, they're a bit ET'd and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
but I don't look at my tyres.
I'm guessing that an 8J didn't come standard on E36.
No.
And it definitely didn't come standard on a compact. E36 compact with coilovers, big anti-roll bars.
But I don't look at my tyres, I think.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeesh.
You know.
And Benny's got What's he run? He's got 9J and he's on...
Is it offset,
245?
255.
255, yeah.
But is it the offset causing it to rub?
I think that's why, because they're all very offset-y.
I think you've got... I always get confused
and
with
And
ADOHs
do have quite thick sidewalls.
Yeah.
But so I don't look at my tyres and think, well, they look a bit bulbous.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway. But I mean, I was going to bring this up earlier about, like, when you're saying about you don't plan on having a crash. And I, in most recent track days, have been what I would consider driving a bit harder, a bit braver. For example, what's the last one at Coombe?
Camp.
Yeah. There's a cone on the apex.
Yeah.
A what?
And I was trying my damnedest to hit it on my last session. And that's when I had my rather big moment.
Yeah.
That, in my humble, non-egotistical
opinion... Oh, what, going straight towards the pit wall going, oh, fuck.
That one.
Yeah.
Where I was facing concrete at 80 mile an hour.
Mm.
That would have been...
Ouch. And dead car.
That would have been dead car. Because that would have killed... That would have been such force on the engine, it would have fucked the engine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would have twisted the chassis off the line. Yeah. Everything. There might
so
have
much
been...
torque in the wall.
Yeah. There might have been something at the back of the LSD might be salvageable.
Yeah.
And the two rear wheels.
Yeah.
And I would be...
In pain.
Fucking hurt, wouldn't I? Because I'm not a small chap.
I don't know how well bolted in that seat is.
No, I didn't fit it.
Yeah.
I'm heavy and it doesn't move too much.
Mm.
But either way, I'm not coming out of that nicely. And I do... Because my brother said to me, and this is me being a brave because I don't give a fuck, but he said, you must have shit yourself. And I was like, no, not in the moment. Then I look back on the video and I think, fucking hell.
Yeah.
That could have been horrible.
Nick in the garage next door,
mm-hmm.
he rolled a Clio at camp.
Yeesh.
Like, big time. Went over. Virtually the same thing. Big,
oh, really?
Big lift off oversteer.
Right.
And he went... Towards infield, towards the wall, towards infield, definitely not saving that one now,
mm-hmm.
and then hit the grass dug sideways, in, and off she went.
Caged up, or?
Yes, yeah.
Probably just as well.
I said to him, you must have fucking shit yourself, didn't you? And he was like, "Not." I didn't even get scared until about 5 minutes after what actually happened.
Yeah.
It was just like... Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And he said that was literally as much as my brain
like,
could...
Fuck. Cross your arms.
Yeah. As much as my brain could comprehend was, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
And then just held on. Mm. And because I'm a passenger at this point.
Yeah.
You know.
I just remember thinking, oh, fuck, that's a bit much.
Yeah.
Because I've slid enough cars in my time to know when you go over past that point. Because I was just kind of a bit of lock on, happy day, straighten up. And I kind of... If you watch the video, I kind of have to, like, palm the fucking wheel around.
Yeah.
And then, as I come back, it was when it came back, I thought...
Uh-oh.
Oh, fuck again.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I don't want to take any credit for it, because I think I was luck more than anything else, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah.
There's a guy that I follow on Facebook who does driver training, and he... I don't know how you would ever actually train your mind to do this, but he's proved it time and time again that a car will correct itself.
Yeah.
If you just let go of the steering wheel, just completely let, unless you've got the most ridiculous geometry setup you've ever seen.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, as soon as you get over 20 mile an hour, if you turn the wheel, you're spinning round, you know, if you just let go of the steering wheel and don't mash on the brakes, don't mash on the except just nice, sensible, calm movements, the car will correct itself. And yeah, he's done it. He's obviously does a lot of this driver training stuff and like for, well, everything, you know, for drivers who aren't confident versus training people on or coaching their track day or race day driving, etc., etc. And he's done it in, he's got Lotus Elise that he does a lot of his like sports training in, and he does it on the skid pan, and he'll come round the corner at like fucking 95 mile an hour and turn in hard knowing that this is gonna fucking spit me off, and he just lets go of the steering wheel and the car, it, you know, it comes from a obscene angle and starts flicking back the other way, lets go of the steering wheel, and it goes boom, 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 fucking bounces him side to side, but sure as hell, straightens up.
I guess really you just think, because the trajectory of the car is forward.
Yeah.
It might be sideways, but it's still going forward fundamentally, unless you have actually spun, but then it's past the point of no return anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting your head around it's out of battle. I mean, I've, as you know, reasonably well known, I've done a bit of sliding, and I've had people say to me in the past, say, oh, you know, can I'd like to do it, and da da da.
And the, I know someone who did, said that once.
Yeah.
You bullied him into submission then, didn't you?
No, he actually asked me, can you teach me? So I tried to teach him, he got funny about it. But
anyway, I was talking about myself, actually.
Oh, was you?
Yeah.
Boss, you flick the light on, please. I asked nicely. No.
It's up there, though.
It's over there, though. And the biggest thing is almost getting over the kind of fear factor of, oh, fuck me, we're sliding.
Yeah.
Because you instinctively want to back out of it.
Yeah.
Of course you do. That seems like the most logical thing to do.
Yeah.
But it's not. You got to power through it.
Yeah.
And if you
power over this.
And if you look at the, you know, shit little YouTube video I made of the very, 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 very wet track day we done at Coombe that time, the Porsche got moaned at and black flagged.
Yeah.
Was I actually was backing out of it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be sliding around and getting bollocked. And it's hideous.
Yeah.
Because the car pings itself back straight. Yeah. And it's just not the thing to do. The best thing to do is to fucking just power through it. And I had one hell of a slide at the most recent track day at Coombe.
Yeah.
And you can actually see, if you watch the video, you can see I start to take lock off.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, we're going to be straightening up now. And I realise, oh, no, we're not. I have to put a bit more back on again. It's not shit myself. It was very, you know, delicate. But you, if you watch it, you'll notice I take lock off and then put it back on again.
Yeah.
Because the car's, you just, I thought, yeah, we'll start to straighten up now. And it just didn't. So I was like, oh, okay, fuck, a bit more lock on. It is mad. But like you said, how do you teach that? You kind of just got to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how it'd be in the Cayman, though. But
well, obviously
I've slid an MR2 before, and that was very,
it's got everything against it as far as sliding goes. Open diff, mid-engine, short wheelbase.
Yeah.
You know, it's all stuff that is meant for sticking you to the fucking floor.
Yeah.
And but I've obviously had plenty of moments at Castle Coombe where, oh, that was a bit too much, you know. It's never been like, oh, fuck. You know, I did have one, I'm trying to think which corner it was.
Just recently,
not the track day we've just done, but the one before, which I think actually that was a SCS day, the Porsche day,
the wet one.
No, well, I don't know now.
Yeah.
But it was the penultimate corner, so I don't know what that's called. The one before the pit, before you come off to go into the pits.
Oh, the sort of kink.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Where I'd come through the chicane too fast,
and
got a bit oversteery,
and
was determined to keep my foot in, and because the car was already a bit unsettled, I then demanded for it to be slung into the right with my foot flat on the floor, and it went, well, I'll try, but
I don't think she's got coming.
And I did. There was that particular one where I thought, oh, I might have overcooked this. But I did manage to catch it and keep it on the black stuff.
Mm, that's good.
But yeah, I mean, coming out of quarry, especially if you're 4 or 5 laps in and the tyres are starting to beg for a bit of mercy.
Yeah.
Then quite often you get it turned in and you start rolling on the power, and way before the backs even come out, you can feel it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, so you do just unwind the lock and then put a little bit of opposite lock on, just a little bit. And it's like, it's more of a power slide than a, like you with a big angle, you know. And yeah, I think Bulge was in the car the time where I was on my out lap and caught up with Matey, who had the fucking big 996 cup wing
on his,
and that was the same, came literally from out of the pits and joined the track. and I came up through Quarry and I caught up with a guy who also had a 987 Cayman, but his is very much race spec.
Ah, yeah.
He's obviously a very, very good driver as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a fucking great 996 cup rear wing on it and huge, great big, like, MDF splitter on the front on semi-slicks and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd only just gone out onto the track, caught up with him at the end of Quarry, and then he indicated left because he was on a cooldown lap. And I was like, I started to go past him and I thought, this is my breaking point. And I'm in the wrong area of the track.
Yeah.
And I've got to just commit now because now we're going to go through a corner and the marshals are going to give us some fucking, what the fuck are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. When actually all I thought was going to happen is that he's indicating left. I'll get up level and he'll lift off because he's on a cool. Nope, he didn't really lift. And I was like, okay, well, we're sending it into...
Committed now.
Yeah.
Well, it's happening.
And the same thing, turned through the first chicane.
Yeah.
But because, A, I was out of offline, I'd had to do a bit of a stabby kind of right turn that then oik it back to the left. And I did have a reasonable slide there on the way out. And yeah, when I spoke to him in the pits afterwards, he was like, that was a nice slide you had on there. And I was like, yeah, yeah. He was like, you're pushing quite well, weren't you? I was like, I'm not going to lie, mate. I was on my out lap. You were on your in lap going faster than I go on a push lap. So, yeah.
Have you ever put it in the grass?
Had
a mild off?
Yes. That was... No, I had to take the escape lane on the final chicane at Coombe. Brake-related issues again.
Right.
That I'd come through Tower and... Fuzz, no, I'm not getting around there. Fucking money shifter cunt. You will slow down.
You will slow down and never go fast again. Well, so thoroughly enjoying all this track day talk. I bought a couple of bits for the compact. Nothing majorly exciting, but... Well, one of them definitely isn't very exciting. One is E36 M3 brake servo master booster, whatever the fuck they're called.
Okay.
What are they called? All of those things, aren't they?
Yeah, it's like an all-in-one thing.
Because when you do the E46 330 brake upgrade, as I have... That was John, by the way.
Bigger master
cylinder,
don't he?
Well, back in the day, the forums would have told you, back when these cars were sort of, well, worth something because they weren't all that old, not because they're, you know, all rusty now. If you're doing the 330 brake upgrade, you have to put on a M3 master.
Yeah.
Because you get a bit of travel. And then I noticed, as... prices kind of dropped and they got into the hands of oiks and things like that.
You?
Yes. People weren't. People were just linging 330 brake kits on left, right and centre. And I said to Benny about it, I said, it doesn't really seem to be the thing these days. Said, well, you can, but you don't have to. I thought, oh, fair enough. And obviously, because I'm on all the E36, why are you on your phone?
Because I'm trying to keep something up for...
Morning! Watching pornography, are you?
Yeah.
Whilst just perusing one of the 1,800,000 E36 pages I'm on Facebook, some bloke was selling a load of E36 bits. Quite interesting bits. And I thought, well, fuck me, selling a E36 M3. And I thought, I looked at the price, I thought, well, that seems cheaper than normal.
Mm.
Went onto eBay, and they're normally £200. Well, there's two on there at the minute, for 200, three on there for £200.
Did you check the part number?
Yes, first thing I've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, first thing I've done. And he wanted £80 for it.
Huh.
So I was like, fuck it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, money. It's too cheap to turn down. If it doesn't fit, I can put it up for £150 and see, you know, some money back. And also a alloy, if it's going to do anything, I don't know, but an alloy billet, lightweight metal water pump pulley.
Okay.
Because they're £25 to buy new and he wanted a tenner for it. And I said, we do the lot for £100 posted. He said, yeah. So I thought, well, fuck it. You
know? Yeah.
I can't imagine, that brake servo's... They're not small, are they?
No.
And I can't imagine they're particularly... It's not like it's
2 kilo. Like,
yeah, big, out, you know, big enough, and it's not like it's... Put it through your letterbox jobber, like it's spacer or something. Yeah. And I thought, well, that and that and that. And I looked into it, and like I said, the 25 quid for the pulley.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Normally they're plastic, so that's going to help. I don't know if it is lighter, but not going to do any harm, surely.
Nah. So fuck it.
Yeah, so that should be quite good. I've decided, all going well, as it should be, the compact's going to get some love over winter. I'm basically going to stick with the tyres I've got now for the rest of the year, as it were. I want, obviously, September the 17th is going to be going ahead. I'd like to get another one in October.
Yeah.
And then I'll call it there. After that's a waste of time, isn't it? I don't care how cheap it is. It, even if it's 50 quid, maybe. But there's the logistics and the hassle and everything else. You just think it's going to piss it down and be cold and horrible, so fuck it in the year. I do want to save up, because they're not cheap, for some AR1s. I want to buy, because I've got a, thankfully through Benny, he was breaking a Z3. Z3 share a lot of the 30 parts, as does the compact, and they share the same rear beam. So Benny took one of the beams off and stuck it in the side of his unit. So I'm going to buy, I don't know the best way to describe it, some adjust, to so I can adjust shit on the rear, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, for the geometry.
Yeah.
So I'm going to order that, get that done. Just a few bits and bobs. Obviously, I've got that brake servo going on now. I want to put some braided lines on it. I want to look, I've mildly looked into a rear brake upgrade. Just a bit, if there's anything bigger that would just bolt on, then happy days. My only real options appear to be Z3M, which sounds expensive.
Does sound expensive.
We'll see. Whatever. But
or
like
I guess M3.
No.
No, different.
Well, what, E30
M3? E30 M3,
yeah. It'd be more expensive than just a Z3M.
Oh, God, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And harder to find and all the rest of it. Yeah. If it's not already, it might even be
probably
the same,
the same
right
stuff.
Now.
Yeah.
But just a few bits, really. Just a bit of tighten up. I've got a bucket seat to go in the passenger side now, which is good because after Rob took me out in it, I realised there is nothing to hold on to here at all in any way. So there's nothing.
That's why when you were like, oh, there's no brake pedal down there, boy. I was like, not looking for a brake pedal, mate. I'm
brace
for
on
brace.
Something.
I'm trying to fucking stay in the seat.
Yeah. End up submarining. get on the brakes. Oh, like, gone.
That obviously isn't going to work in audio. No. But Bob's just basically slid down his seat, so it's just a head on the table. Bob's going, way!
Henry just...
come again. Yeah. But it's a standard seat. It's a sports seat, which means it's slightly bolstered more than a Boggo one.
It's a 90s sports seat.
It's a 90s sports seat. There's a bit of plastic where the door card was. There's nothing there. There's no shit grip. There's no nothing.
No.
And you don't really want to be in the way of whoever's driving either, do you? So you're
no.
a bit kind of, oh, I'm going to sit here, and you kind of, oh, this is, I catch a, ah, this is horrible. So yeah, I've got a bucket seat to go in. I do have harnesses to go in, but I'm still a bit undecided about them. I do like the fact I can just jump in it and go for a drive. But then you had double, didn't you?
Yeah,
hybrid.
Yeah. But that's common practice.
Yeah.
Genuinely, it
makes
is.
Sense on something that's road legal.
Yeah.
But just a bit of love. Basically.
Yeah.
Not. I mean, obviously, it always needs it. They always do. There's always something you can do. But I do just want that bit more dialed in.
Yeah. So I was looking at Toyo R888Rs.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, the AR1s from my memory were $1,250 for
mine.
How much
are the Toyos?
They're about a grand.
Yeah. I mean, Benny used some used Toyo, whatever the fuck they're called.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed from the passenger seat, admittedly. Yeah. But I was very impressed. That was night and day compared to anything else he was running. And then he went for the AR1s, and from the passenger seat, I could tell very little between the two.
Yeah.
Which if one was 1,100 and the other one was 1,200, you go, well, I'll just spend the extra £25 a tyre.
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
Yeah.
But when it's that much of a difference, then. I mean, they're good tyres as well. It's not. It was a bit of a lottery, wasn't it, with the Accelerators?
Oh, yeah.
Because they had a good rep.
Yeah.
But they had a good rep for what they were. One of them good reps.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good for the price.
These are great for the money.
Yeah, this is it. They're, honestly, mate, they are spot on for the money.
And all these YouTubers going, yeah, these are amazing tyres for the money.
Yeah, these are amazing. Ad sponsored by Accelera.
Yeah.
Tyrestreets.com.co.uk.
That's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, but... They sponsored everyone, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Just put Accelera under our noses.
Yeah.
But. Well, I did ask a question on the Patreon. If you remember. Do you remember?
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously not go silly with budgets and things like that, but given the choice. So, the three of us three of us now technically all have track cars.
Mm.
And it gets a bit serious, and this, that, and the other, and a bit of bob, and a bit of that. And would you rather have tow rig, or would you go down the route of a recovery truck, beaver tail, flatbed, whatever the fuck you want to call it?
Depends how heavy your car is.
I think I would go...
None of us have got anything that's too heavy.
No.
You wouldn't put mine on a beaver tail.
Yeah, you would.
Not by the time you put tyres, wheels, fuel, all that bollocks on it.
Well, don't then.
Right.
But if you're tracking it, you don't need an extra set of wheels. Do you really?
You might. Depends how borderline your tyres are.
But if it's going on a track, don't do a track day with dead tyres then.
Yeah.
Really?
Because I mean, like, right. You know, let's say that everything does somehow work out for me, and I book the 17th. Then, if the forecast on the 15th is for rain, then I will change my wheels on the 16th, and I will put my Pilot Sport 4s on.
Yeah,
which are a good all round tire.
Yeah,
but I don't want to destroy my PS4s doing a dry day when actually I've got some fucking accelerators that I want to destroy.
Yeah, destroy them instead.
Yeah, rather than...
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think I would go rig.
Yeah?
For the simple fact of...
Look less of a pikey?
No, it's not even that. I'm thinking...
Sorry, Henry.
I'm thinking of real life practicality.
So this is the big thing, isn't it? Is because
another vehicle to park.
It's another vehicle to park, tax, insure, etc., etc. And where the hell am I going to store that? You know, or well, do I now commit myself to this is what I drive? I drive a beaver tail.
Well, this is what Benny said. He was like, "What? You're going to go fucking out of an evening in a fucking old beaver tail, are you?" I'm like, well, no. I mean, in my head, the way I see it is, it's all very circumstantial. I mean, I don't expect you to drive to work in a beaver tail and then jump out and drive a lorry all day. Do you know what I mean? Because that is, jump in, Bev, I'm taking you out for the evening. Clang, 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 clang. Fucking banana engine in about the place.
Yeah, right.
I mean? Fucking 90 horsepower.
90? That's optimistic. Got turbo, is it?
Yeah. And the fucking longest gear stick anyone's ever seen.
Yeah. Most noise.
Yeah. You'd have a lot to talk about when you got there, because you'd have fuck all to say on the way there. You can't hear each other.
What?
Table for two, please, boss. Are you all right? Sorry, I've driven a beaver tail here.
There was no valet, though.
And I've driven a fucking beaver tail with nothing on the back.
Yeah.
Bouncy. Horrible. Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But in my head, I've always pictured it as... Because you can daily whatever your tow rig is.
Yes.
But the downside of that is they're generally quite big. They're generally quite shit on fuel. And then also not very fast for the fuel.
Well, you need a truck of some sort, don't you?
This is what I mean.
Yeah.
Discovery 3.
Some man maths.
Yeah.
This is worth $7,000, but in my head it's worth 12, so I've got a bargain. I've got $5,000 to spend on it or something. Because in my head I think, well, for me, like in my situation now, so I would think I would have a work van. But then I suppose, I don't know. Do you know what it is? I've never really, apart from Euro Truck Simulator, reversed anything with a trailer on.
Well, this is the other tricky part, isn't it?
I did reverse Benny's... What was he in? It was either the Touareg or the other one. Yeah, the
Fender.
The Cruiser.
Oh, the Cruiser.
On some fucking dingy industrial estate in Bristol in the dark. And I didn't do too bad. I got it in the right sort of place. But the finer details, yeesh, and he did have to take over, and it was mildly embarrassing because I am 10 years a senior. And you know, whereas with a beaver tail, you can just ling it on the back, strap her down,
parallel park the fucker,
and off
you
fucking
to.
Go. Yeah. Yeah. I can go into the third lane if I want to.
Yeah.
I don't have the speed to, but I can if I wanted to.
Yeah.
It just seems like, because also what you could do, is you can hire a trailer very, very cheaply.
Yes.
Very cheaply.
Yeah.
My dad hired a trailer when he came down for the track day, but it was disgustingly cheap.
Yeah.
I was watching that BQR.
Hired a trailer for like 180 quid for 3 days.
Four days. 4 days, 180 quid. And it was a nice Brian James.
Yeah,
all the nice proper straps.
New.
Spot on. So there is that as an option. But there is also a part of me that kind of, I don't, it's six one half a dozen of the other, but I don't necessarily like the idea of driving something that isn't necessarily ideal day to day, because four times a year I might want to tow.
That is the age-old toss-up, isn't it?
Yeah,
and it does make things incredibly difficult, because you know what I would sort of say to you is, well, you don't have to get a Touareg, for example, that you struggle to get much more than 18 miles to the gallon out of, because you could go and buy, for argument's sake, a Hilux, because a Hilux is a little four-cylinder. They're absolutely ample for towing. You still get 25 to the gallon in a Hilux. No drama. It's four cylinders.
Yeah.
But then you've got the problem. Yeah, but it is a fucking pickup, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is a pickup, and it is on fucking leaf springs. Yeah. And I have had years of experience with Hilux, because that's all my mum ever bought.
Yeah.
And I can tell you firsthand that if there's no weight in the back of that thing,
horrible.
They are fucking horrible.
There you go.
You know, and this is the problem. Well, I'll tell you what, then I'll get a Discovery 3. Discovery 3 is probably one of, from every experience I've had in a Discovery 3 with a trailer on the back, is probably one of the most capable towing vehicles you could ever. And they're fucking just smooth. They just sail with it. It's not like, because the Hilux, obviously my mum always had horses and shit like that, so she was forever towing.
Yeah.
And that thing is dong 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 when the fucking trailer's bouncing and it's shunting you forwards and all of that shit.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, incredibly capable. She could, if she had to, she could stop on fucking Porlock Hill with a horse trailer and two fat horses in the back and put the handbrake on and pull off. Off it would go, no problem. But
did her car sound like an elephant?
Or yeah. Just but you then say, oh, well, fuck it, I'll get Discovery 3 because it's a nice place to be and it tows fantastically, but then you run the risk of Land Rover doing Land Rover things.
I mean, you will be fixing it all the time.
This is what I mean. Initially, the obvious choice is, well, I'll just get a tow rig. I can just waft about in luxury. But then you start to think, because even Benny, of all people, his Touareg, cheap.
Yeah.
It's so much car for the money, and it's reliable, and it's comfortable, and it looks like it's more value than it is. And it's just a perfect all-rounder, but even he's like, I need a dinger.
Yeah,
I can't keep fucking fueling this thing to work. But no. It only works down the road, which is half the problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was doing motorway stuff, not towing. And even I was like, yeesh.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I'd come from a 40-mile to the gallon average, you know, saloon. But even then I was like, fuck me to tears, this is bad.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of compromise all year. Again, it depends on how much you're using it. But if it's four track days, like we're saying, you think, you know,
if it's your main hobby and you're planning on doing it every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks, cool.
You can totally justify
it. Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Even then, can you, though? Because if you say one a month from March until October, how many months is that? Six? Seven?
Eight? March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October.
Eight. How many fingers have you got?
12.
You can tell us that, boy. I don't know, I think what I picture in my head is a bottom end of the market, like Mark rough ropey high mileage Mark 7 Transit Beaver Tail.
Yeah.
That I with pay, an M57 in it.
Oh mate, the dream would be M57 6HP, away I go. Not 8 because that's just mental and something like that. 6 is more than adequate. I'd love an M57, one of them. And I did find one on eBay, and I thought, ah, it's fucking cool. And then? You look into it, and the speedo doesn't work, and this doesn't work.
Half of it doesn't fucking work.
None of this works. You think, oh, waste of fucking time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cool, and nothing works.
Yeah, it's on 65,000 miles, but the clocks haven't worked for 12 years.
Yeah, that's it, right. You never know how much fuel's in it, and it splutters, get to a petrol station quick, you know?
Yeah.
Brilliant. But I just think if you can buy one cheap, which is what I would want to do, I would buy one cheap that when I wanted to use it, I'd jump in it, and it just would be one of those vehicles that would just fucking work all the time.
If the tax and insurance and all that shit was cheap enough on it, that you could say, right, well, fuck it. I don't even need to dry store it.
Mm.
I, I just need to safely store it. So, Colin, for example, give me 30 quid a month and it can live in the yard.
Yeah.
But you need to leave the keys here.
Yeah,
I'll tell you now, I'm not driving it, but if I need to move it, I need to be able to move it. Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
30 quid a month, up it goes. And yeah, brilliant. You go and pick it up once a month, once every other month, and you stick a car on it and you go... We're off. Don't fucking worry, boys.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, as long as it started, we'll get there.
Yeah.
You know what the dream for me would be, don't you? Tow rig.
Scania.
Yes.
Well, genuinely.
Genuinely.
I'm joking.
No, not
genuinely.
That's
quite the tow rig bulge.
Yeah, isn't it?
What, like a 7.5-tonner thing?
No. No, I'd get like a 18 or a 26-tonner that you could basically live in as well. Yeah.
I mean, that's some
cost ratio, that is.
Because
it's going to do
imagine the length
8 miles
of the,
to the gallon.
The length of the fucking ramps you'd have to take with you to get the car on the trailer.
I mean,
you get low build bodies.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not getting up any ramps, but yeah.
I mean, here's me thinking a 1,500 pound Transit.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bulge has gone, Scania.
Yeah.
I you know when you sit there and you fantasize about stuff, giggity, and you're like,
sisters.
If it,
I'm watching.
Niall.
It's from The Office, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah. Genuinely.
When you are from Uffcombe, so...
I don't mean my sister, you fucking idiot.
Although you did hatch in Tiverton, so who knows.
Right, let's not go over this again, because you'll be wrong again.
Nope.
Right, carry on, because we're nearly at the end. Ish.
I would... If you like one big, you'd be like, right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy a fucking 600 horsepower V8 unit, and I'm going to have a trailer, and I'm going to... put loads of cars in it and go to track days. Fuck it.
Fucking right.
You fucking rock up in a million quid's worth of lorry to roll out your Mark II Octavia VRS.
Oh no, but if I was minted enough to do that, the Mark II would look like it does, but it would have everything on it.
Yeah.
Rear wheel drive?
I feel like that would almost be funnier, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Turn up in one of those fucking great race lorries and, you know, an entire...
You buy one off Plato Racing.
And
Gah.
An entire team of people get out ready to start prepping.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what's he going to be in here?
McLaren or something?
E36 Compact.
Kin Sam boy.
And in front of that is an Octavia, and in front of that is a Porsche. Yeah.
Five spark plugs or something.
Yeah.
Oh lordy! Right, so be serious.
Yeah, it does look like in their debut season, Plato Racing have entered administration.
We don't know much at the minute.
No,
we are recording on a Monday. You'll be hearing this on a Friday, so we'll probably know more by then.
It does look like their principal sponsor, Cataclean, have requested. They put into administration, and they're seeking a buyer ASAP.
Why? A Cataclean run out of money?
Don't know. But apparently the sustained operating loss is nearly £900,000 in one season. But as we were saying earlier, motorsport is just a black hole for money. It's not...
Well, yeah, but like I said off air, it's not that black... Motorsport is a black hole for money. It's not a money-making opportunity, really.
Not normally,
not
no.
really. But you don't do it to make money. You do it because you love it. And if you do make money, happy
days,
right?
Yeah.
What my point was...
And look at Williams.
Yeah. But what my point was is they've just started.
Yeah.
Which means they've had to buy the cars, build the cars, write the theme tune, sing the theme tune. Yeah. Same joke I made earlier. It wasn't funny then. But they've had to buy everything because they are a fresh team.
Yeah.
West Surrey Racing...
Been there for
years.
They've
already got a lorry.
Yep.
They've already got a 3 Series they've used for the last 5 years. You know, they've already got everything else in between and a recovery suite and ice baths and everything I don't really understand because I just ling a compact around my local track every now and again. But they've had to buy the cars, build the cars, create a team. That is going to cost money.
Yeah.
And I don't care how much sponsorship money you have, it's still going to cost a damn sight more than any of your sponsorship money is because West Surrey Racing, as an example, or any other team, I can't even think of... Because they've all disappeared recently, haven't they? Team Hard, they're not going anymore, are they?
Nope.
Who's the one that caught fire? Speedworks?
Oh, that was...
Speedworks?
Yeah, I think it might have been Speedworks. No.
Speedworks? Who was it? Powermax.
PMR.
PMR, Powermax Racing. So, you know, most of these other teams, you know, that haven't caught fire or disbanded yet, but again, I'll use West Surrey Racing as an example. The costs they have each season are running costs. It's the cost to test the car. It's the cost of getting tyres. It's the cost of getting the car, the lorries to the track. It's a running cost at this stage. But what Plato Racing are doing isn't a running cost because they've had to start from scratch. And he didn't buy a team and hit the ground running with cars and lorries that already existed. He started from scratch. So there is always going to be a huge loss in the first year.
Yeah.
Because next year he won't have to buy lorries and cars and teams and people and things and ice baths.
But according to Motorsport Week, Caterclean applied on behalf of Plato Racing to appoint an administrator on August the 11th.
Last week.
With an appointment on August 12th and publication on the 17th.
Which is today.
Which is today. This move comes as separate sale documents reveal the team has lost £835,000 since its inception.
Hasn't lost it, it's spent it.
Well, it's hard, isn't it? Because, you know, it's that same old that, well, you're not going to see any revenue until you start seeing results. Hmm. And
they've just won their first race, so it's kind of like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the thing, isn't it? Is
that, and they have been famously fairly strong all season as well.
Famously, there are very, very, very few teams that have turned up to any racing series as complete newcomers and have done well.
No.
You know, I mean, Braun in Formula One is a prime example. They did whatever it is they did and made a very good car. But they spent all of their money, so they couldn't bring upgrades. And they had to make hay while the sun shined.
Yeah.
And for those first four or five races of the season, however many it was,
they had to capitalize on it.
That they fucking dominated on before everyone went, oh, well, I see what they've done.
Yeah.
We're going to do it to our cars.
Oh, a double diffuser. Oh, we've only got one diffuser.
Yeah.
They've got a double diffuser.
Yeah. We're going to do it to our cars, and now guess what? That Braun is not anywhere near fast enough for the rest.
Mm.
And then Braun have gone, well,
we've got no money left
and we aren't putting any sponsors on our car.
Richard Branson gave us a fiver, I think, with a very small Virgin sticker on it.
Yeah.
Because we're a Virgin team. Bang.
Apparently they're due to compete in Donington this weekend. What?
You say it, John, I guess.
Nope. So they're due to compete.
Honestly, I don't understand Niall's problem with the word due, as in D-U-E.
You're not quite saying it. That's probably
when you hear it back.
You'll initially go, "Yee!" Oh, I see what I've done there. Like we did.
It definitely sounded like
Jew and Jew sound the same.
Yep.
So I'm talking about the Jews, as in the people, or Jew. That Bill is Jew.
Yeah, but it kind of sounded like instead of saying Jew to, it just sounded like you said Jews. So the.
You'll hear it back.
I like juice.
He pulled a face and said, no juice. I didn't say Michael McIntyre joke before anyone comes at me. John pulled a face as well, by the way.
It sounded like you were saying that there were going to be some Hebrews competing.
Some Jewish people are going to be racing it.
What about the Shebrews?
Them Bruce?
They're sat next to you on a train.
They them Bruce?
Oh, lordy. Well, I'd like to think that given Plato and given his story and the team's story and how well they've been doing, it's not like, we're at the back.
No.
We haven't won anything
for
a while.
They've always been mid-pack or...
Right, I mean, it's not like, you know, Minardi or Tyrrell trying to get sponsorship in the later seasons. We're going, I know we've not done much for about 10 years, but...
If ever.
Four front wheels, though.
Yeah. Fancy sponsoring us, but... When we get lapped, there's quite a lot of television coverage, you know. They're up there, and they're getting a lot of publicity for the right reasons and everything else. It's not like, you know, dare I say it, it's not like Nick Hamilton, who is just at the back all the time, bless him, you know, got his reasons, but he is at the back. and given your choice, if it's your hard earned on the line,
yeah,
all right, there's a big difference in money.
It's always one of those. I see it quite often, like a suggested Facebook post, that it's some, well, without being too blunt, some nobody,
yeah,
who is doing a race series and their sponsor has pulled out and they're now £30,000 down and they're asking for any small businesses or businesses that would to help me keep my dream alive. And I just think, like, just fucking, like, for a small business such as myself, I mean, you're just fucking pissing money up the wall there,
aren't
you?
Really, yeah.
You know, because you think, well, who the fuck's watching the MG75 fucking hatchback competition?
Yeah.
No one. Yeah. It doesn't matter how many stickers you put on my fucking car.
MG75 competition. Nobody. Nobody.
No, I get it.
I mean, you see it a lot with touring car, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, these are the country's top drivers in tin top racing, which is, you know, the biggest thing in this country, isn't it? Asking for money. What's that? Is it Cressy, whatever the fuck he's called? I got him on Facey B. And he does a couple of races.
Yeah.
Do you know who I mean?
I think
number 77. Yeah. Crees or something like that. I got him on Facebook and he's a fan favourite.
Ricky Collard, who's done really well, he's like fourth or fifth in the championship this year.
Yeah.
And like He's managed to find enough funding for three more races.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm.
And he's running fifth.
Yeah.
And it's his dad was in the touring cars for years. Yeah. Rob Collard. I always was a big fan of Rob Collard. You know.
They're always entertaining, the Collards.
Yeah. I mean, Ricky was very entertaining in all the junior stuff as well as he was coming up through. I do really like Ricky Collard. But it's just like, you know, Jade Edwards. Very good driver.
Yeah.
Very good driver. Not just for a woman, dare I say it. But she's a good driver. And
couldn't find the money.
Can't find them anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen, because I follow a lot of the drivers on social media and stuff, I see them making, sponsorship stuff. There's one guy, and I thought, that's not bad, a bad way of doing it. And it was something like 10 for 10. And we wanted 10 companies, and it was 10 rounds, £1,000 a round.
Yeah.
And you basically, you pay as you go. But then you are one sponsorship pull away from
not competing.
I don't have the money anymore, so I'm not going to be doing it. And see drivers pull out mid-season. You see drivers come in mid-season because they've got more money.
Look at Dan Lloyd. Won the Independent last year, not racing this year because couldn't find the budget.
Yeah. He's in Porsches now, isn't he?
He's doing something.
Oh, no, that's Stephen Jelly.
Think he's coaching for one of the teams.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one. Might be Napa.
Because he can't get a drive.
Senna Proctor, same thing.
Yeah.
He was really good last year, but couldn't find the budget to get a drive, he's
reserved
for Napa.
Do we know why Tarkington didn't return? Was it because of his boys or money?
I don't know.
But it's just mad.
You know, yeah, and I mean, I know a chap, he lives in the outskirts of Uffcombe.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing relatively well for himself, but his daughter is a very, very, very good kart racer,
right?
Like English ladies champion kind of level kart racer.
Yeah.
And she, if it wasn't for the fact that this is what Paul was telling me, that if it wasn't for the fact that they had sponsors for her tires,
right?
And she also has got a large following on TikTok, and she does, you know, commercial adverts for some other sponsors,
right?
They would not be able to afford to do it. And I said, how much do you reckon it costs? And he said, well we put in roughly $35,000 a year of our own money. Of our own money. You know, if when you take into account getting her and the cart to whatever circuit it is for the whole weekend, fueling it, staying somewhere, you know, and they've got a I don't know, T5 or no, I think it's a bit bigger. I think it's a Sprinter,
right?
That
King
that's
Rafter.
Converted,
you know,
where it's dad and daughter go up and they stay in the van to save money, and they take food with them and they cook the food in the van and all of the other sort of, you know, things that you would you would do if it's a passion of your own.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I say, he reckons it costs him between 30 and 40 grand a year.
And that doesn't cover it.
And yeah, you know, and that's thank God I've got, we don't have to pay for the tires.
Mm.
And thank God we've got we've got a sponsor for engine parts. They won't supply that. Well, they will supply an engine,
yeah,
but there's no technicians or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it absolutely fucking chews an engine up,
yeah,
then yes, they've got an allotted amount of shit they can have every yeah. year. So say that it's a value of, I don't know, £25,000.
Mm-hmm.
But if she got really unlucky and had, I don't know, three bad crashes and ruined the engine in every single one of them, well,
yeah,
the next engine isn't free.
Yeah.
You know, well, you've had your 25 grand's worth, so if you need another engine,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
Pay up.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's like, I know it's a bit different. I know you two aren't into it, but there was a stock car driver. He was a saloon. He'd done bangers first, and then sort of as he got older and a bit more tired, done saloons. Saloon stock car racing, which is still a contact sport and blah, 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 but it's, I mean, they take it seriously. And he was shit hot. Very well-known driver in the scene, done it for years and years and years. And he retired, essentially, stopped competing because his son was doing very well on the karting scene, was in the British yeah. Championship and everything else, and was close to winning it. I don't actually know any of his results, but enough for his dad to stop doing his racing to concentrate on his son's career.
Yeah.
So couldn't get the money together.
No.
And now the son competes in the Saloon Stock Car Championship. Yeah. He's still racing, which is still something.
Yeah.
In a familiar setting as well. So it's not like he's doing, you know, the MG75 Cup all over yeah. the country thinking, I'm doing 100 mile an hour at best.
Yeah.
You know, and he's won the World Championship, he's won European Championship, British Championship. All right, you know, it's all very oval racing, a bit village. But he's fucking good. And you just look at these people and think, if you were given the right opportunity,
yeah.
what could you be?
Yeah.
Because there's a thing I saw on Facebook, some suggested post, and it basically said, it was comparing motorsport to football. And basically it said, if you imagine your kid's great at football, but you have to supply this, you have to supply the ground that they do it on, you have to supply this and supply that, and da da, and there's still no guarantee of
yeah.
anything else. You know, with football, you just, totally different. I get that. But
you just in a bag there, isn't it?
Yeah, but you just turn up to a, you know, a trial.
Yeah,
and if you're good enough,
pre-established club. And yeah,
exactly. And if you're good enough, then they'll take you on, and
yeah, at some point they'll pay you. Like this, I don't know if you ever watched it. That Freddie Flintoff's Field of Dreams.
No, I saw clips, but I never actually watched
genuinely,
it.
Genuinely, regardless of whether you're a cricket fan or not a cricket fan, very, very good watch.
Yeah,
because he famously grew up on a council estate in yeah. Preston.
Yeah.
You know.
And
yeah.
Come on, mother, let's go out Dintford.
Has not come from the usual background of yeah. English cricketers, which is private education mm-hmm. at the highest level and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Private education, liked to drink, yeah. got into cricket, carried on drinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got to be one of England's most famous cricketers
yeah.
through sheer talent mm-hmm. alone.
Yeah.
You know, and anyway, he basically, what he did is he went back to the council estate that he grew up on
mm-hmm.
and effectively tried to set up a cricket team
yeah.
for these kids who have, nine out of 10 of them hadn't ever played cricket before, you know, and they're from a rough ass council estate.
Yeah.
And there were several kids on there who were, you know, they were destined for being in and out of prison, yeah. basically,
wrong,
you know,
side of the tracks.
Yeah. Just constantly in trouble with the law and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was written in their stars before they were even out of nappies
mm-hmm.
that this is the opportunities you're going to have, and these opportunities equal that outcome.
Yeah.
And yeah, just then giving these kids something to do
yeah.
that meant that they weren't out smashing up the fucking bus stops and mm-hmm. setting fireworks off in the middle of the road just for a fucking laugh.
Yeah.
You know, that, well, actually, no, look, sports centre's open, and it's, yeah, Thursday night, through the winter. Mm. It's indoor. You can come in, practice, you know, from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. And yeah, there were several young lads in there that they ended up really enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, and then they end up going and playing their first proper game of cricket and et cetera. And they all have a fucking brilliant time.
Yeah.
And you think that's one tiny little thing of a few lads, a few select lads.
That's a drop in the ocean of something that's rife.
And you know, out of that whole show, I think there was only one lad. He was actually an Iraqi refugee, but a natural talent with cricket. Genuinely very, very good. So much so that...
Good ball handler.
Yeah. So much so
good at running with things in his hands.
I think he ended up going to the England Academy, you know, and blah, 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 all of... But that's all just from recognition of a TV show that if that TV show had never happened and if that lad had never turned up to a practice, to one of the practice sessions, he would have still been this refugee who had literally been adopted by some UK citizens.
Mad, isn't it?
Just throwing a cricket ball in the back garden. That's all he used to do with his time, basically.
Why are Indians so good at it?
Well, I mean,
we taught them back in the day.
Did we steal the game from them?
I think
and their cuisine and their sport.
it's just one of those
genuinely don't
where
know.
You've got.
We're going to steal your satay chicken.
Well, you've got the UK
ball game.
The UK, realistically, is a football country, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we did invent the game.
Any little village, town, city, etc., etc., if there is a park which has got football goals, you will always find kids playing football.
Yeah.
You know, that is what it is. And I think it is just one of those games that kids in India can play.
Yeah.
Because, well... I've got a ball, I've got a bat, we can find some sticks to make some to make some wickets, and this is what we'll do. We'll...
We're under attack?
Hopefully.
No. Sadly.
Aiming for Somerset. Right, we are an hour and 50 minutes.
Fuck! We're I didn't think it was getting
We're
late.
Not. An hour and 15.
Really?
Nope. No. And again, two on a trot. I'm only joking. We are an hour and 40 nearly.
Yeah.
I'm only joking. Yet.
That'll do, won't it?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for listening. been good. I enjoyed tonight. I did a bit of track day talk and a bit of recovery truck talk and cricket.
And can't afford to be a racing car driver.
None of us can be. No. Yeah, despite our immense skill that we don't possess.
That.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Or the funds that we don't possess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bulge, say bye. Please just say bye because I want to knock it on the head.
Bye.
Well done. Bulge, John. Hey.
Niall.
Noodle.
John, say Neil. My name's not Bulgy Burke.
My name's not Bulgy Burke.
Niall, say bye. Bye.